Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I want to apologize ahead of time. The second time I'm apologizing in this Mass, but if you see me make any mistakes or do anything wrong like that, I'm really nervous. I am. Not because I'm uncomfortable celebrating the sacred mysteries. I've celebrated the Mass, this same Mass, this exact Mass, the one only Mass, the very same Mass that Jesus Christ celebrated over 1,300 times. So I'm not nervous about that. But I'm nervous to be here in such beauty before a people who I don't know well, but I love well. We'll get to that at the end of Mass and explain a few things with regard to that. But I'm really just in awe of the beauty of this place. It really is one of the most beautiful churches in the whole of the diocese, and certainly the most beautiful in our deanery. You lost a priest recently. Father Sotero Sena is a man who is 3 years away from his own retirement. And I'm a priest who's only 3 years into priesthood, 3 years from ordination. You traded in for a new model, but I don't think you got the value. So pray for me. I want to be a good priest. I want to be a good pastor. And one thing you got to know is that every single one of you fathers knows this, that your children teach you how to be a father. So you got to do the same for me. Teach me not just to be how to be a father, but to be your father. Pray for me. Today, I'm going to try to cut things down in time a little bit, but I apologize if it goes long. The first time I ever preached in front of a congregation was Corpus Christi. That was the first Mass I ever had as being assigned to a parish at St. Thomas Aquinas in Rio Rancho on Corpus Christi, leading a celebration of a procession after that Mass on Corpus Christi. The same exact things that we do here today 3 years later. That time my homily went 34 minutes. The first time I'd ever done one. So this one won't be that long for sure. But I just want to tell you a little story about a young man. A young man. Is there anybody here who's 12 years old? This young man, Francisco. So think of him. Francisco, could you stand so people see you? Think of this guy right here. Don't think of the one with the mustache. Think of the one who doesn't have the mustache. He's too old. I'm going to tell you about a 12-year-old boy by the name of Tarsissus. Can you say that for me? Tarsissus. Tarsissus. Tarsissus was not a sissy. Okay? Tarsissus was not a sissy. He's a young man in the 3rd century Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, the 3rd century. Remember, during that time, the early centuries of the church was illegal. It was illegal to be a Christian. We could not have a Eucharistic procession like this. They would throw you in jail, lock you up if they even knew that you were a Christian. You wouldn't even get out the door with the Eucharist. During the 3rd century, during this time, the Emperor Valerian was in charge, and he ushered in a mighty persecution of the Christians, locking them up, seeking and finding them wherever they could find them. Especially, he wanted to go after priests, because he knew if he killed the priests, all the people would be gone. So one day after Mass, not only was his persecutions bad enough to where the people had to celebrate Mass in their homes in private, or in the catacombs in secret in un modo escondido, it was even worse. That it was so bad that they couldn't even bear the Eucharist to those who were sick or to those who were in prison without facing certain death if they were discovered. So in that context, a priest finished celebrating Mass. He happened to be the Pope. The Pope there in Rome, and after he celebrated Mass, he turned to the people in the congregation, just like you today, and he said, is there anybody here who would be willing to to take the Eucharist to our brothers and sisters who are locked in prison about to be martyred. And the exact same thing you just did is what they did. Silence. Crickets. Nobody stood up because they were afraid of being killed. Except a young boy, like Francisco, Saint Tarsissus. Saint Tarsissus, this young boy stood up and he said, "Send me, Papa." Everybody looked at him. A young boy like Francisco, little hands, not real strong. And they said, "This young boy, how could he protect our Lord from his enemies? Once he's seized, they will steal the sacrament and abuse it." And they began to ridicule and mock his youth. Saint Tarsissus, full of joy and bravery, said, "You mock my youth. But I tell you, my youth is the perfect shield for the Eucharist, for no one will suspect a weak one like me." At this, the Pope stroked his beard, his manly beard, because all beards are manly. His beard was just like that young man in the red over there, long beard. And he said, "Yes, certainly. Certainly that's the path to take." He turned to young Tarsissus and he said, "Young man, do you know what it is that you are about to do? Do you have the courage and the strength to bear our Lord, to keep him safe from our enemies, from his enemies? Will you protect him on the way? I charge you not to go through the most busy streets, but to avoid people, to not stop and talk to anyone, but to go so that our Lord may not fall into capture of those who would seek to destroy him and to desecrate him. Jesus, who is body, blood, soul, and divinity here in the Eucharist. Young man, you have weak hands. Will you give your weakness to Jesus? And allow him to make you strong, to not release him, no matter what his enemies may do to you." Full of joy and manly courage, young Tarsissus puffed up his chest and said, "Yes, Papa, I would rather die than to let our Lord pass into the hands of his enemies. He will hold my grip firm." And so he went. He went. And as he passed through those lesser-traveled streets in the city of Rome, the busy city of Rome, his friends discovered him. They went up to him and with joy, and they saw there Tarsissus, their friend, who was so jovial, and they said, "Tarsissus, come, let us play. Let us go. We are about out for a game." And Tarsissus, strangely reserved, held close, and he said, "No, no, I can't go. I must do something first, and then I will come and play with you all the more." They noticed this was not like their young, fun-loving Tarsissus, which they knew. And they saw that he held his hands close to his chest, and all them who were pagans, each one was a pagan, began to think to themselves, "Wait, today is Sunday, the day when those Christians gathered. Is our Tarsissus a Christian? One of those people?" And they began to realize, is he holding the mysteries? These things he says, they said, "Tarsissus, are you holding your God? Do you have the mysteries within your hands? Please show it to us. Show us what it is that you hold so sacred here that we may see you hold your God." They began to mock and ridicule him. He said, "No, I must go. I must go. I must take. I will be with you. Do not delay me any longer. I have something to do." And the boys began to josh with him, the bigger ones, to push him around and to kick him, to spit upon him and throw him. And he would not budge. They laid hold of his hands and tried to pry them, but his weak hands became as though they were cemented together. Seeing that they could not do it, they began to beat him, to punch him, to kick him, to do all manner of evil against him. And some even began to grab up stones, which they found there on the ground, and began to hurl them at him, to strike them full of demons, just as they worshiped their demons there. Eventually, they knocked young Tarsissus unconscious, and their desire to destroy the mysteries and to see what he held within his hands was not slaked even by slaying him. They leapt upon his lifeless corpse to pry his hands, and they would not budge no matter how much they pulled. A Praetorian guard, a soldier, came to him And so all the young ones or ruffians scattered, knowing they had slain this boy. When he came, he recognized him because he saw him earlier that day at Mass. He himself was a Christian. This Praetorian guard wanted to remove the sacrament from his hands so that he may protect our Lord, but his hands still remained clutched, cemented together even in death. So the guard knew nothing else to do but grab the corpse of young Tarsissus within his strong, manly hands and carry this boy back to the house where the Pope was. Presenting him to the Pope, young Tarsissus's hands became soft, sweet, and supple as they were a babe, and opened up before him to give back our Lord to the Pope. Brothers and sisters, this isn't a story. This is real life. This is the story of our saints, a thing of our faith. Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in this great, most august sacrament of the altar. Jesus is really present. And because of this, Tarsissus' faith, though a boy, that day, he was stronger than any man. Because what does our Lord say through his prophet, through his priest, through his sacred apostle, Paul, in 2 Corinthians? He says, I rejoice all the more in my weakness, because when I am weak, it is then that he is strong. The weakness of young Tarsissus, the weakness of young Francisco, became strong because Christ was strong. Christ, who is actually present in the Eucharist. Today we celebrate a feast in the secular world. What's that feast? Father. Say it again, Sev, that nobody heard you in the back.
Father's Day.
Father's Day. Today we celebrate Father's Day, Dia de los Padres, Day of the Father. Today we celebrate you, men, so I speak to you. Do each one of you who are men, who are fathers, do you have the same courage as this little boy, Tarsissus, to defend our Lord, to love him, to protect him? Because that is what manhood does. Manhood protects. Manhood defends. Manhood sees what is sacred and protects it from all who would treat it as though it weren't. Would you do that? Maybe you say you were. I see a few heads nodding. Yes, I would. If you say that, I don't believe you. Because do you visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Do you take time out of your day to go and visit him? You say you would protect him. You say he is God. You say that you love him, but do you visit him? He is there 24/7. The door is always unlocked. Think of your wives. Would you have won them over if you said you loved them but never visited them? But once a week, for an hour, on a Sunday? I tell you, you do not love him if you do not visit him. That's what real manliness is to put yourself at peace, on your knees, in adoration before the God of the universe, recognizing you are not he. No matter how strong you may be, no matter what strength God has placed in you, in your manly virtues, or in the times when you work out, or whatever it is that you do, you are not stronger than God. We know that. And it takes a man to recognize the limits of his strength. I call you today, my dear brothers, to manliness. And you better call me to the same. Fathers, men, you're called to defend our Lord, to love him, to see that he is loved, especially within your families. As men, you are called first and foremost to be not just father of your families, but priest of your families. Each man, you are called to be priest of your families, the center of the devotion to the Eucharist within your families. That is not to be your wife. You cannot farm that out to your wife. It is your role. And you will answer to God for it. If you do not carry the faith, if you do not believe that our Lord is present, if you do not love him, your children won't. your children will leave the faith. They will abandon the Eucharist, and their lives will be lacking in the spontaneity, the dynamism, and the joy which God desires to have them. And that's on you. And as your father, in a sense, that's on me. Brothers, God has called us to manly virtue today in the Eucharist. To defend your families, yes. To defend your wives always above your children. Never take the side of your children above your wives. You marry them, not your children. To defend your children from every attack of evil, which means saying no to them and disciplining them, not being their friends. Nowhere in Scripture does it say to be the friend of your children. It says to love your wife as Christ loved the church, which means be willing to be sacrificed, beaten, and bruised, just like young Tarsus for her, just as Christ was willing to be bruised and beaten just for you. An uncle of mine, an old great uncle, used to say this. In his love for Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, he said, every time I pass by the Eucharist, I want to make a visit to him so that when he passes by in my life, I may be accepted by him. It had a different ring to it. I can't remember what it is. I should have written it down. It's in my rectory. I wrote it down there. But each and every time we come to receive the Eucharist, what word do we say? Has anybody ever come to receive the Eucharist before? Maybe not. Maybe we don't do that yet. What do we say?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And we don't say it as weakly as you said it right there. We say it from the soul. When we say amen, this is what we're really saying. We're saying, I believe that you are there, present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and I stake my very life on it. Just like St. Tarsus did. If your faith makes you strong as you come to receive him today, say amen. I love you like Tarsus. And maybe you have weak faith. Maybe you're struggling in that way to love and to know God. To adore him. You don't go visit him like you ought to, but you'd like to. Make a different prayer. Say, amen, Lord Jesus, you are there, but my faith is weak. Help me to believe, because I want to be a man just like young Tarsus, to give my life for you. That's what the Mass is about, and that's what our feast is. Men, especially, I pray for you. Women, daughters, you pray for the men in your lives, so that they may truly live out their role as priests in your families. And pray for your priest, because he has to do the same for each one of you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is here. Prepare to receive him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.